Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well. What a wonderful day the Lord's given us. It's just a beautiful day. I just want to lift Him up and just honor Him. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer as we open our service. Have some special prayer requests this evening. As most of y'all probably already know that Brother Vic went home to be with the Lord. And I've got the information here. I can tell you where the viewing will be and what the family has planned. But as we get ready, let's go ahead and take spoken prayer requests, and then I'll give this information if somebody needs to write it down. Anyone on my right side with a spoken prayer request? Miss Tabitha. Absolutely. We most definitely will. Anyone else on my right side, Miss Susan? Absolutely. He does, doesn't he? Anyone on my left side with a spoken prayer request this evening? All right. Anyone in the congregation? Don't want to miss anyone. Okay.
Please remember Keith. The doctor said he had just as bad a case of TMJ as he's ever seen, and if he's not careful, his jaw's going to lock. And he's had shots and antibiotics and heat and cold and everything they're telling him to do. But just keep him in your prayers. Excellent. And just remember Julie and them.
Yes, we most definitely will. Brandon? Okay. Absolutely. Anyone else? Brother Tom, okay, most definitely. I tell you, God knows each and every one, and if you have an unspoken prayer request or just one you want to show by raising your hand, God knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, dear Lord, we're coming to you, dear Lord, with open heart. Lord, we just want to praise you. We want to worship you. We want to thank you, dear Lord, for always being there for us, always being there with us. Dear Lord, may we just continue each and every day, dear Lord, going in the direction that you would have us to go so that we can worship you and we can honor you. Lord, we thank you again for allowing us to gather in your house and in your name. Lord, we thank you for your many, many blessings. Dear Lord, now as we bring the prayer request to you tonight, dear Lord, you hear those spoken prayer requests, Lord. You know those names that were called out, Lord, those situations. Dear Lord, we know that you're the healer. And, dear Lord, that you're the great I am. And, Lord, we're placing them into your hands. And, dear Lord, the hands that were raised, those unspoken prayer requests, dear Lord, you know the depths of our hearts, dear Lord, and we're asking you just to touch each and every one. Lord, I want to especially speak for Brother Terry. Lord, we know he had another procedure, Lord, and I know you're healing him. And, dear Lord, we're just thanking you for your blessings, dear Lord, and for Lynn and Lori and Julie and Michelle, for their family. As we lost Brother Vic, a staple in our church, dear Lord. We just know, dear Lord, that vacant spot that we have, dear Lord, but it's just wholly in your hands, dear Lord. We know he's yours. Lord, we're asking you, dear Lord, just to bless that family. Strengthen them as they go through this season of loss. And, dear Lord, let us all just join just joyfully and know the great reunion that we will have, dear Lord, when it's time for you to call us all home, dear Lord. But we just give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Let's all give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. While you're standing, turn to page 333. I'll Fly Away. God is great. We just love him this evening. Praise the Lord.
Show. I'll fly away, fly away.
hope in Him. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated if you can. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. But as I said just a second ago, while they're getting ready to come up, let me go ahead and read you the information on Brother Vic. And the funeral service will be held Friday, September the 25th, 2020, at 11 a.m. in the chapel at Alvis Miller and Sons Funeral Home. And that's over in Rockmart. This doesn't have the address here, so I'll get it for you if anybody needs it. And also, visitation will be tomorrow night. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. So if anybody would like to get that information, we have the address, and we can get it for you. And just we love that family. We love each and every one of you. And we know as we all stand together, and the Lord united in prayer, just to lift them up and all the other situations that are gone forth. I know that God is mighty, and He really is. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Billy, would you ask the Lord just to bless our offering tonight, please? Yes, Lord. Amen.
Thank the Lord for every blessing. I just feel like He's blessed us more than anybody else. And I thank Him for His protection every day. Everything He's given us. Thank Him for vacation, even though it rained the whole time. We had a great time. So I'm glad to be back. Glad to see all y'all, though. If your mind is filled with doubt, your life turned and tossed about, just cry, Jesus. Just cry, Jesus. He'll relieve your mind of doubt and save your soul from Satan's trap. Just cry, Jesus. Just cry, Jesus.
Just cry, Jesus, till the bell. Well, I thank God for vacations too. I got to go on one, so it was a very pleasant time. It really was. But it's always good to come back home. Always good. Y'all worship the Lord as I try to sing "Child of the King." Be flat.
Praise God. I'm going to do a song before I do this. You know, we're mourning the loss of a dear loved fellow brother here in the church. And, you know, Brother Vic, and I think I've told Brother Eddie this and a few others, but Brother Vic is the number one cause that I'm in this church today.
Hallelujah.
I sat in the back pew back there one Sunday night, and he got up from sitting up here just before the service started, walked back there, and welcomed me to the church like I've never been welcomed before. And he did it twice. And it was like, you know how sometimes somebody can have an effect on you when you come in contact with them? That's the way he was to me. And I give him the credit, and I've shared this so many times, for being in this church here today. Now, naturally, the services are good, you know. They're great. But Brother Vic, you know, God bless him.
Hallelujah.
I'll miss him. But there's something else about him I would like to say. I don't know if any of you knew this. Brother Vic loved reading poems. And he brought me from time to time, he'd bring me poems that he has read and tell me. He'd say, Brother Jim, I'd like for you to read this to see if you get out of it what I got out of it. And they were beautiful poems. Now, you wouldn't think a man like that was a poem reader, would you? But he was. He was, I mean, there's things about him that it just stood out. And then he came up to me on, this was in August the 26th, 2018, and he gave me a dollar bill that was folded and shaped like an H. In the center is the picture of Washington and the number one on each side. And I looked at it, and I said, Brother Rick, I said, I appreciate it, but I don't understand it. And he goes, it's the H. You're at home. He says, that's the gift. You're home. And it was like, and I carried in my Bible all the time. So, you know, little things like that people do just stick with you. And then when we lose them, when they're gone, like these two ladies said, they're on vacation. They're glad they're home. Brother Vic has been on vacation for over 80 years. Now he's home.
Amen.
Gosh, man. Now that's a home worth waiting to go to. But I'm going to do this little song. It's not very long, and I want to do it in his memory. He was a dear man. You look for the day that we meet him on that beautiful shore again.
Hallelujah.
God bless him and his family.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Miss Jennifer.
Let's see.
think we've all got home on our minds. Let's worship as we sing My Home. It's a long and dusty road that my feet, they are traveling on. And sometimes, oh, the clouds are dark and low. But I've got to keep the faith and walk the straight and narrow way to reach that place that I will call my home. For my home is just around the bend. I think about it now and then. Reunion by the millions everywhere. But the one that I so long to see is the one who bled and died for me. My home, a place I long to be. Just a stranger here, just passing through on a temporary stay. But I'm looking forward to the time when all of heaven, it will be mine. I'll watch and pray. It could be just any day. About it now and then. Reunion by the millions everywhere. But that one that I so long to see is the one who bled and died for me. My home, a place I long to be. About it now and then. My home, a place I long to be. My home, a place I long to be. Well, that's my
home yet, but that home. Anyway, this is just a temporary place. This is just a journey. Man, wait till we get to our home, that home that has been prepared by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I know that we miss those that have left this walk of life, but knowing, amen, their destination at least gives us comfort to know that they're in a better place. All suffering is over. There's no more pain, no sickness, and praise God, no more death. And how we long to be a part of that. And sooner or later, we're going to all have a reunion in heaven. There's some glorious reunions going on right now. Amen. But wait till the rest of us get over there. We're just going to have a wonderful, wonderful time. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. We want to just give a great big shout out to all of those who have been working so diligently around the church trying to get everything back. Please excuse the smell. There's still a little dampness in the carpet, especially downstairs, and it kind of filters up through the vents. So please bear with us. We've sprayed as about as many times as we can, so that's the reason that the doors are still open. Hopefully that we can finally get rid of this smell. But then this outside has been sealed again. There's a lot of work's been going on, so we thank God for that. And all of those that were involved in it, a great big heartfelt appreciation to each and every one of you. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. As we attempt to bring to you what we feel the Lord has laid upon our heart, we've just been made to be blessed this week by God's mercy, by His grace, by His Word. Amen. And we're just so thankful that we have a God that is with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I've often said if the only place I could ever feel the Lord was here, I just wouldn't leave. Amen. I love to congregate with the saints of God, and I love to have come together in one mind and one accord and worship and praise the Lord. But I'm so thankful that the Lord is able to go with us each and every day. I just couldn't make it without Him. And I'm so glad to have that relationship with the Lord. From the book of Deuteronomy, let's go to the 32nd chapter tonight. Pick up with verse number 1, and we'll read down through verse number 4. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's holy and precious words. How many thankful for God's word? Amen. There was ever a day, ever time that we needed to depend on the word of God. It is now that the hour that you and I are living in. Amen. That's the one thing that doesn't change. The world may change, people may change, but the word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Reading from the 32nd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, beginning with verse number 1. Moses is writing. He said, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His word is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." Can we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come at this time to love you and to thank you, God, for another opportunity, another time to gather together, God, in this sanctuary to worship and praise you. God, to hear from heaven, to hear this word tonight. God, I pray that it will enrich our soul. I pray, God, that it will produce growth and edification. Pray, God, that we'll be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. Father, we do remember those who are sick, and many are suffering tonight. Many are afflicted, and we pray, God, for your healing power to touch and minister to each and every need. Those who've called, those who've, God, have gotten in touch with us by the text or the Facebook, Lord, I pray, God, that you would reach right now, God, and minister to them. Touch them and anoint them. Bless those, God, the family of the Brother Vic, Lord, who's gone home to be with you. We know, God, he's in a better place, but leave such a void in the lives of so many who loved him so. And I pray, God, that you would be a comfort and a source of strength to that family. Asking you now, Lord, just to anoint these lips of clay. God, just lead us and guide us and direct us in the way that you'd have us to go. And be careful, Lord, giving you all the praise, all the honor, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You may be seated. Amen. Come on, God's good. Come on, give him praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. That's one thing I never tire of is glorifying and praising the Lord. If I praised him from now to the end of eternity, I would still not praise him sufficiently for what he has done for me. How many is thankful that he brought us up out of a horrible pit? As the writer said, he put my feet on a solid rock and established my goings. I'm so thankful for what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary so that we could feel his precious Holy Ghost. Tonight I want to bring a message that's simply entitled, My Rock and My Salvation. How many is thankful for your salvation? Amen. How many knows where your salvation came from? Amen. It didn't come from a preacher. Come on, it didn't come from a denomination. It came from the blood of Jesus Christ, and that is power in the blood, as the song says. But this week I've been thinking about the rock, and the Bible talks about the rock in a number of ways, and the rock has played an important part in the writing of the Bible, in many, many things that have happened in the Bible. And we hear the song that says, I go to the rock. And we know that rock signifies the rock of our salvation. And we know that a rock signifies something that is strong, something that is steadfast, Something that is consistent. Amen. How many is thankful for consistency? Amen. You know, this up and down thing is that's not what the Bible talks. It talks about be ye steadfast and unmovable and consistent. And it also signifies not easily moved or shaken. In other words, it's something that we can depend on. Many things around the nature change, but the rocks seemingly are there for a number of years. There's a place where we like to go out and camp. We pull our camper out to, it's DeSoto Park there in Alabama. And one of the first things that you see when you enter into that little state park is a huge boulder or a rock. And they've had to build around that rock. It protrudes out into the road. And the reason I know that is because you have to be so careful when you're navigating your camper around that huge, huge rock, because it's not going anywhere. That road had to be detoured around that rock because that rock is steadfast and unmovable. And I begin to think about the many, many people who have witnessed seeing that rock. But that rock was there way before that state park was. Ever before the first camper pulled the park there, ever before the first cabin was built, or whatever renovations have been done there, I thought about the steadfastness of that rock. And no wonder many of the writers of the Old Testament and even the New Testament in Psalms 2 referred to that relationship or referred to Yahweh or God, Jehovah God, as that solid rock. And Jesus Christ as that firm foundation. How many is glad and knows the importance of a firm foundation? And we are built on that foundation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Moses began to write here. And I thought about Moses of all people as he began to describe his relationship with God and what God was in his life. And we know the story of Moses. And how many knows that God had a purpose for Moses? He spared his life. That story in itself is remarkable. It was not coincidence. It was not luck. It was not by chance, but it was ordained of God. Amen. I believe that many things that we sometimes attribute to coincidence or something is nothing more than God's ordination on our life. God has ordained us and ordained many, many people to be in certain places at certain times. How many knows that God has a purpose for each and every one of us being here? A ministry, if you would, He's laid upon our heart. I've talked to a lot of people and said, "Brother Ed, I just don't feel like a minister. I don't feel like a preacher." You know, there's ministries other than preaching. There's all types of ministries. But I believe if you've been born again, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you got something to share with somebody. Amen. There's a soul out there, I believe, with your name on it. I believe there's somebody that you're going to be able to lead to Jesus Christ. Because as I say often so many times, nobody can tell your story like you can. Nobody can describe it. Nobody can take your place to tell you that night or that day that you was born again and you let Jesus Christ come into your life. And when you begin to share that story with other folks, it'll move people, because there's people out there today who are very, very hungry for a change of life. They don't even know what they're looking for. They're trying to find this in a lot of different things, in a lot of different substances. But what they really need is a born-again experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. How many is thankful for your born-again experience with the Lord? How He came in, how He transformed you. All things passed away and all things became new. Well, Moses was writing here, and he began to write and he began to describe. And in verse 4 especially, I want you to notice the verbiage. I want you to notice the words. As we say so many times, words mean something. Amen. I don't believe the Bible just throws a bunch of words together. I think that every word that was written and penned by those men and women that was moved on by the Word of God and wrote those things down, I believe that was ordained of God. And Moses writes here in verse 4, "He is not a rock, He is the rock." Amen. Aren't you glad to know that any old rock won't do? Come on, any old way won't do. You know, we need to be careful today, because there's a movement in the land. There's a movement in the world that'll tell you that you can just believe anything because God is a loving God, or gods. Sometimes they put plural on them. As long as you believe in a God, as long as you believe in a way, as long as you believe in something, you'll be all right. But that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says there's one God. Amen. And we must serve Him and worship Him. And He tells us that He is is a jealous God. And Moses further reiterates that when he describes him as he is the rock. And what a wonderful, analysis of what eventually transpired in the desert when they were going through the wilderness. Maybe Moses didn't realize what he was writing, but I believe God, the Spirit of God, as he moved on him, let him know that down the road, this is going to be further, amen, driven into your heart, into your mind, and you're going to realize just how strong and how mighty a relationship with the rock is. But Moses goes on to say, he is the rock. And then he says, his word is perfect. I'm not a proponent of trying to find different interpretations or man's views of what God was trying to say. I don't like that word when people say, well, God was trying to say this. No, God said exactly what he meant to say. Can I get an amen? Amen. God was not messed up. He was not stuttering around. He was not confused about what he was saying. His yeas were yea and his nays were nay. And we have to measure up to the word of God. But I'm so thankful here that Moses wrote that not only is he the rock, meaning he is the way, he is the God, he is the source of strength, he is my Savior, he is my salvation, but he goes on to say his word is perfect. Man, you know what it means to be perfect? It's something that we can't be. We can be complete in God through the infilling of His Spirit, but as long as we're in this old body of flesh, how many knows that your biggest enemy is not Satan? Your biggest enemy is that flesh that Satan comes against and wars against. And how many knows he knows exactly where to hit you? Knows exactly where to attack you. But we say it all the time, greater is He that is within us. Amen, that He that is within the world. So His Word is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. All of His ways. He's a God of truth and a God without iniquity. Just and right is He. Now, Moses having to write this to encourage the children of Israel, because many, many times their faith grew weak, as does ours on occasion. When we just experienced a mighty move of God, seems like our faith meter kind of pegs out a little bit. Boy, it's good. Especially if you've just been touched by the power of God. If you've just had a fever to break. If you've just had a situation in your life. And man, that faith is at an all-time high. And then there's those dry times. How many knows what I'm talking about? Man, if you've been walking for the Lord for a number of years, you know what I'm talking about. God doesn't leave us. He does not forsake us. But for our benefit, for our being able to learn to lean on faith, there's going to be some dry times. Not dead times. Not that God has forgotten us. God doesn't turn His back on us. But there's going to be some dry times. And I will assure you, whether you realize it or not, during those dry times, maybe the time that you grow the most spiritually. So many times, we're up on the mountain feeling good, but it's down in the valley when we really get in touch with God. Sometimes we have to go low to get high. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? We have to hit our knees and say, God, I can't make it. I can't take another step. I don't know what's going on, but I do know this. I have Your Word to lean on. You are my rock. You are my salvation. You are my strong tower. You are my refuge. And how many knows that God is always there for us? So He's a God of truth without iniquity, and He's just, and He is right. So Moses was declaring all of these things that a relationship with God is. And then it's also further reiterated in the book of Psalms. If we'll go to Psalm 62, verses 6 and 7, and I want to slow down here for just a little bit, because I want us to engulf exactly what these men of God were writing and how they were identifying and how they were witnessing about a relationship with God. As I said earlier, nobody can tell it better than you about your transformation and about your salvation. And David wrote it this way in the 62nd chapter, or the 62nd Psalm, verses 6 and 7. David wrote this, he said, "He only is my rock." Basically, that's another way of saying that Moses said he is the rock. David is saying there's no other rock that'll do. There is no other power, amen, that will sustain. There is no other strength that I can truly 100% rely on than the Lord God. And he's saying here, he only is my rock. And he follows that up with my salvation. Amen. Thank God that he loved us enough to make a way of salvation. When I began to think how lowly I was, when I began to think about what I was involved in the world and how that a God loved me so much that he sent his only son, amen, to bleed and die on the cross of Calvary because he loved me that much. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world of which we are a part." But I'm so thankful that he loved me enough and allowed me to hear the word of God and for the word of God to penetrate my soul and to convict my spirit and to change me from the direction that I was going in and point me to the Lord. Amen. You know what? We should never ever take that for granted. The power of God that convicted you, the power of God that drew you to an altar of repentance, we should never ever take that lightly. That is so wonderful. It always should be etched in our heart, in our mind. When Jesus Christ himself, his spirit drew us to an altar of repentance. David said, "He only is my rock and my salvation." He follows that up with, "He is my defense." Thank God. I said, thank God. We have a God who defends us. Amen. He is my defense. And I believe not only does he defend me physically, but I believe he defends me spiritually. Can I remind us tonight that there are adversaries out for your soul? There are demon spirits in this world today, amen, that probably are as active as they've ever been in my lifetime and maybe even the lifetime before me. They are trying their very best to cause disruption. They're trying their very best to cause confusion and to cause discouragement and to break us down. And you can see it, folks. You can see it in the eyes and you can see it on the faces of many, many people, especially with what's transpiring right now. There is a hollowness in some eyes, amen, of people that are on the news now and people that you see on the street. It is alarming to me because you don't know what that person is thinking. You don't know what that person is capable of doing. But you know what? I'm not going to live my life in fear because I have a defender. I have my God as my defense. Amen. He's with me everywhere I go. Glory to God. I am never alone. I am never overmatched. I would be if it wasn't but for God. But God is with me to be my defender. And David said, "He is my defense." Thank God. Not only is he my rock and salvation, but he is my defense. And then David said, "I shall not be moved." Amen. How many knows we have a determination in our heart and our mind? I'm not going to be moved. Amen. I used to hear a testimony say, "Well, if this is not right, I'm going to keep it till that comes." This is right. Amen. This word of God is right. You don't need to look for anything better. You don't need to look for anything more modern because this is right. It has stood the test of time. God's word is going to stand forever. Praise God. We need to get in God's word. We need to be obedient unto God's word. And we need to write it on the tables of our heart. Amen. The writer that wrote that, I don't know if he was being prophetic or not, but there is a possibility. We said all the time, they'll never take our Bibles from us. They possibly could. We didn't think they could do what they've done this year. But you know what? Even if they take that word of God, they cannot take it from our heart. Amen. It is written. It is there on the tables of our heart. Glory to God. Amen. They may take that part away, but it is always going to be in our hearts. And we need to understand and know the Bible and learn of the word of God. So he said, "I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory." Thank God for the glory that God has allowed us to be a part of. "And the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God." I wish people would learn to put their faith and trust in God Because God will never fail you. He'll never let you down. He can't lie. Amen. He cannot break a promise. His covenants, the covenants that he has made, he has always stood by his covenants, and they're true. And I thank God for that. And David realized that as well. So what we see here tonight is that a relationship with God, not only is it strength, steadfastness, consistency, amen, but is also a place of refuge and a place where we will always have a defense. But also, the psalmist wrote in Psalms 105 about another attribute of the rock. And this is what, when God was leading me through the Bible and the many times and the many references to the rock, and it's a metaphor, basically, of strength. When we see Stone Mountain, when we see these huge boulders, normally we think of something that is solid. Something that has been there a while and not going to be moved. If you ever been trying to dig a foundation and you run into to granite or you run into something and you just can't dig anymore because it is there. And it's going to be too hard to get it up, so you're just going to have to build somewhere else. And through the Bible, these metaphors talking about the strength and the solidity and the consistency of a rock and describing our God and his relationship with us as being unmovable and being unshaken and being consistent. But it is also something else. It has the ability to feed us and to give us drink when we're thirsty. David began to recall the wilderness journey. Moses wrote this. David began to recall in the 105th Psalm, verse number 41. David has a way with phrases. He has a way with, it's almost, his writings are almost melodious. They seem to flow. The 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He many times he put it to the music of his heart. Sometimes he just wrote what was on his heart. And when you read that, you almost read it in the form of a song or a poem or something, because it's comforting, it's reassuring, and so many times it just soothes our spirit. And many, many times when I'm troubled in my spirit, I'll go to the book of Psalms. Because the way that it is written just seems to speak multitudes to my heart and to my soul. And I can come away feeling, man, that this is just exactly what I needed. So we find David here is writing basically. My point here is that God doesn't change. As Moses described the rock, as the psalmist described the rock, as David here is also talking about the rock and the relationship that we have with that rock, which is significant or signifies the relationship with God. David writes in the 41st Psalm, or the 41st verse, rather, of the 105th Psalm. He, meaning God, opened the rock and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. Now this comes on the heels, if you read the entire 105th Psalm, of David describing the wilderness journey. How many knows it's all right to go back and thank God for miracles he performed years and years and years ago? That's what testimonies are about. Amen. If God has ever healed you, you don't need to just testify about one time. You need to tell as many folks as you possibly can how that the Lord saved you, how that the Lord healed you, how that the Lord maybe saved you. It's when you was at the point of death or brought you through a wilderness journey or whatever the case may be. So David is reiterating that in this psalm, and he's talking about how that the many plagues were put on Egypt and how that Egypt was ready, or Pharaoh was ready to get rid of the children of Israel because the plagues were so harsh on them, and God was having his way making Pharaoh's heart be able to say, children of Israel, get out of here. But God took care of them on that wilderness journey. And then he began to describe here that when they began to be thirsty, you remember I talked about the faith meter? I can assure you that when those millions of Israelites left some 400 years of bondage out of Egypt, I would imagine that faith meter was pegging out. Glory to God. Our prayers have been answered. We're out of here. We're going to Canaan land, the land that's promised. God's Word said it's going to be flowing with milk and honey. He's going to fight for us. He's going to prepare a place for us. Oh, how wonderful that is. That boy, that faith meter was just pegging out. Then all of a sudden, here's the Red Sea. Come on. You know, I've often said, just because you get the Holy Ghost don't mean your troubles are over. Come on. But it means that your troubles will never be bigger than that spirit that is within you. You'll always be able, with the Spirit of God, to overcome those things. So here's the Red Sea. And God brings them through the Red Sea. What a wonderful miracle. And I can almost see, just overnight, that faith meter pegs out again. Glory to God. Worshiping and praising in the Lord. And then they have these enemies come. And then they get hungry. And now David is writing, they're thirsty. They're so thirsty that they're about ready to stone Moses. And they're accusing of him of bringing them out into the wilderness to die. You should have just left us in bondage. Oh, we'd never say anything like that, would we? But I have heard testimony say, you know what? I didn't have near this many troubles before I got saved. Are you telling me you want to go back to Egypt? Are you telling me you want to go back to the way it used to be? Let me tell you something. I'm so glad of what that is within me. Amen. What, and no matter if I have troubles for the rest of my life, I would not trade it for the life that God brought me out of. He's delivered me. He set my feet, amen, on a solid rock and directed my steps. Don't want to go back to that. But they was ready to stone Moses. And David is reminding them here, said, you know, when they was thirsty, where do you go? He went to the rock. He went to the rock. Glory to God. And here, this is what, if I can somehow, in my limited vocabulary, in my limited presentation, convey to you what I saw when David was describing basically the same rock. Moses described him as Stone Mountain. He's the rock. He is unmovable. He is unshakable. He is strength. He is might. He is consistent. And he is. He's all those things. And the psalmist earlier talked about, yeah, and he's my salvation, and he's my refuge, and he's my high tower, and he's all of those things. But also this same rock that when we are going through dry places, we got to have water. In this case, it was natural water. But how many know sometimes we got to have a drink of that spiritual water? Lord, it's been a dry season. It's been a dry time. Lord, I can't even hardly hold my head up. I know you hadn't left me. I know you still love me. But I need some of that life-giving water, Lord. I need some of that water that's talking about that'll fill my belly and I'll never thirst again. And when they was ready to stone Moses, and God spoke to Moses to go to the rock. Go to the rock. One night I preached a message that Moses had his staff and he was walking around, and just this is Brother Eddie's imagination, okay? Don't hold me to it. But I in my mind, in my spirit, and you know, we've been there. If you haven't, I have. Searching for an answer. I mean, he's all around that rock. And he's got that staff, and he said, Lord, we're going to die. They're ready to stone me. There's no water anywhere. I know this land. I've shepherded in this land. My father-in-law's flock. I know where the water holes are, and I've been there. But Lord, we're just nowhere near that. And the cattle, they're thirsty, and the people are dying of thirst, and there is dissension in the ranks, and people are getting discouraged and upset, and so accusing me of bringing them out. Lord, I just gotta have a move, God. I gotta have you, Lord. Whatever it takes, Lord. I need a prayer answered, Lord. Not next week, not tomorrow, Lord. I need a prayer answered now, and he's got that staff, and he's walking all around that blessed, which is right there, that rock. So many times We're stumbling all around the very victory that God has already put in place for us. He's already ordained it. We're just stumbling around trying to find it. And God says, strike the rock. Glory to God. Amen. I'm going to open up the rock. That strong tower. That consistency. That power. That tower of faith and all. I'm going to open it up. And it's going to flow. Look what David said. They ran in the dry places like a river. Glory to God. When God gives the answer, He gives an answer that flows like a river. Man, we had a wonderful brotherhood meeting last night, and you that were there, pardon me if I get a little redundant and repetitious here, but my eyes lit up. My spirit just kind of, I just couldn't hardly sit still. Brother Jonathan was talking, and he was talking about, he said, when God rechanneled my life. Have you ever had just a chill run up and down your back? And this had nothing to do with the air conditioner. Amen. I just felt the Holy Ghost when He said that. He said, the Lord, back when the Lord rechanneled my life, and He was talking about basically just giving a personal testimony of how that used to be and how God brought him into this relationship now. And in my mind, just automatically, I began to see this mighty rushing flood-like waters just flowing violently and wildly down the mountain. You've seen them. You know, when it brings great devastation, and in many times it brings death and damage to all of these places. You know, you've seen how that water, when it's uncontrolled and it flows down the mountain, even over barriers and different things like the water floods, and we've seen it recently. And in my mind, I saw that raging water just going this way and that way and destroying whatever was in its path. But then somebody, maybe the Army Corps of Engineers or somebody, some construction workers, took that powerful force and instead of it running wildly and untamed and destroying everything in its way, they channeled it. I love that word. They channeled it. They harnessed the power that was going, and they channeled it for good. And it causes people to have electricity, and dams are built, and a lot of factories are there. The same source, the same power, but this has been channeled. And I said, Lord, You've just described my life. It was out of control, but You took it and You channeled it, Lord, in the right direction. You did something for good in my life. Even in dry places. David said He opened the rock. How many can relate to that? Last place in the world you'd have thought you'd get victory from. Especially water out of that rock. And not only just a trickle of water. Do you realize that there were millions that came out of Egyptian bondage? And their cattle, their sheep, and their herd were with them. And they all drank their fill from the water that came forth from the rock. Because David described it as it flowed down in dry places like a river. How many is thankful that sometimes when we seem like we've gone as far as we can go, we can't take another step, God opens the rock. Oh, hallelujah. Ah, glory to God. Not that natural water, but that spiritual water. Glory to God. And it begins to flow, even in those dry places, like a river that we can drink to our spiritual fill. Thank God that He is our rock. But that's not all. He is our salvation too. Amen. I'm glad that He fights my battles. I'm glad that He defends me. I'm glad that He protects me. I'm glad that He is there, unchangeable and undeniable strength and power. But I'm also glad that He's compassionate enough and loving enough to open up His heart's door and let that spiritual water flood my soul. Because I need it. I've been living for the Lord for a number of years, but I get thirsty sometimes. I mean, knows what I'm talking about. There's a song that we sang, Lord, here's my cup. Just fill it up. I don't want it half full. In fact, I don't even want it just filled up. I want it overflowing. Fill my cup till it overflows. Glory to God. Fill me with your Spirit and that love and that grace and that mercy, that not only is He able to protect us in that strong, powerful way, but also to love us in that soft and gentle and compassionate way. Anybody in the house love Jesus tonight? Amen. Any great, any wonderful. We love you. We love you so much. Thank you for coming out on a Wednesday night. If our music would come just for a moment, you may have a need. You know, the God that we serve is not only a healer on Sunday. Amen. I think so many times we think we can only get prayed for on Sunday. But the God that I serve is just as powerful every day of the week. So as you stand tonight, as you bow your heads, if you have a prayer need, if you have a situation in your life, whatever it is, you bring it to the altar tonight. I will assure you that the elders will pray with you and we'll pray for you. Glory to God. Let's do fill my cup. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Sing it when you get ready, whatever key.
Hallelujah. Fill my cup, Lord.
Just worship the Lord.
Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my
testimony. They were at Walmart and I-20 and all that traffic, and so they went the back way, and guess what they found? Old First Pentecostal Church over here. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Somebody said they wasn't lost. God was just leading them right over here to us. Amen. Thank God. We're going to get Him to ring a word for us one of these days. Amen. Brother Jim, come if you would. Dismiss us with a word of prayer. God bless you. We love you. Continue to remember the family, Brother Vic Woodley, that God will strengthen.
Yes, sir. Yes, he does.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.
Yes, praise the Lord. You know, through those testimonies of praise, as Brother Eddie said earlier, only you can tell your story.
Amen.
God knows that He's the people that hear that, Brother Allen, and all the ones that know that, you know, what might seem impossible to us is everything in God's hands. He is the Creator. It is all possible in His hands. That's why we're praying church. That's why we're believing church. Love each and every one of you. God is great. Don't ever stop giving your testimony. As we had an opportunity last night in our band of brothers, as we went around and introducing ourselves, because we had some new folks there last night, and you just hear those testimonies start coming out. Let me tell you where I was, but let me tell you where I am now. It wasn't giving any glory to the past. It was giving all the glory to God and where we are at this day and time. Praise the Lord. We love each and every one of you. Those watching on the live feed or at a later time, just know how much we love you. And it's not about us. It's all about Him, as we always say at our church. It is about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our great God that we serve, in Jesus' name. Just again, welcome everybody. Just be careful going home. We'll invite each of you back Sunday morning for Sunday school. And also for our service Sunday morning. We just love the Lord. All hearts and minds clear? All righty. With this prayer, we're going to be dismissed. To just know how much we love you. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. Lord, we just want to lift you up and honor you this evening, dear Lord, and for the rest of our life. Dear Lord, may we praise you, dear Lord. May we declare the victories that we have in your name. Lord, we know, dear Lord, without a shadow of a doubt, that you are our healer, you're our provider, you're our protector, dear Lord, and you're our Savior. And, dear Lord, we just love and praise you. Dear Lord, we're nothing without you, but with you, all things in your name, Jesus. Lord, again, thank you for those here tonight, whether they're here with the young people in their Bible study or with the teens in the other building. Lord, we ask you just to bless each and every family represented here. Keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time. And, dear Lord, for the services going forth these next couple of days, dear Lord, for those that have lost their loved ones, for Brother Vic's family, Lord, we are lifting them up to you and all the others that are struggling. And, dear Lord, we just praise your name in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Let's give you one more clap of praise as we dismiss. Praise.